welcome in once again the starting quarterback for the Edmonton Eskimos, Mike Riley. Mike, how you doing?
I'm good. I made a mistake. I skipped up. You said a big guest was coming up next, so apparently that's me. But I'm doing all right, man. How about yourself?
Well, you know, we had a few other guys lined up, but they backed out, so we got you on at the last second.
I figured that, you know, I've been your go-to in time of need when no one else. Okay, you know what? Why not?
Before we get to the serious stuff, I had a few of your ex-teammates who are now current teammates on the show, some free agent guys who have signed, and Mr. Jones and Mr. Foster, and they made it aware of your nickname, the Trigger Mike. They did not want to tell us. Now, I thought it was just because he pulls the trigger, but they seemed to sense there was more to the nickname. Who gave you the nickname and where did it come from? I think we're going to have to try to get a new connection, man, because we can't hear Trigger Mike. We got to hear the answer to that. So we will try to reconnect with the QB of the Eskimos so we can hear him a little bit better. Many other quick things to go. A lot of people wonder, hey, Gregor, do you think Brian Bickle would be a comparison for Meraz as far as expectations? That one comes from Dean. Well, I'll be honest, I would hope not. Because Bickle took 9 years before he was an NHL guy. And really, he did have the 117-goal season. And then he had a great playoffs. And really, other than that, hasn't done much. So you would hope that maybe he develops a little bit faster and definitely has more consistency in his game. But you're right, big body, that's definitely what they need. A guy who has some hands, there's no doubt about it. I think the one thing Meraz is proving that he has some hands. You can't score 30 goals in the WHL without having some skill. Right? It doesn't mean you become a 30-goal scorer in the NHL, but very few guys can be 15-goal scorers if they weren't 30-goal scorers at lower levels. It just doesn't work that way. And Mike's back with us with a better connection. So do tell about Trigger Mike.
Sorry about that. Hopefully you can hear me now. But yep. I must be on a Verizon commercial. Can you hear me now? Good. But you know what? I wish you would have gotten an answer from them because that would have been finally an answer for me. I have no idea. All I know is they caught on with especially those two and the group of guys that they were always around, and who the heck knows, really. So I guess that's just going to go down as one of the all-time mysteries because I'm sure they'll bring it back, and I'll be hearing a ton of that this year from them, but I still have no idea where that came from.
Okay. Well, it's not a bad nickname. Like, I've heard way worse, right?
I'm totally okay with it. Yep. I mean, at least they're not making fun of my nose or something like that. I mean, that'd be terrible. But
tell me about Foster. I look at his size and his speed, and you think, man, this guy's a natural. He hasn't really put it all together. He feels like this is a good fit for him. What kind of receiver are Eskimo fans seeing in Foster this season?
Yeah, you know, Keane's a very good physical talent. You know, as a receiver with that kind of size, and especially being a non-import, he's a guy that can contribute greatly to your team and help out, you know, with that ratio. But in terms of the type of guy that he is, he's a big physical receiver. He's got good speed and good hands. He did suffer a little bit when he was in BC from an injury to his knee that I think kind of hampered him a little bit. But when he was healthy, he was playing fairly well. You know, he started off the 2011 season, leading our team in touchdowns. Like through the first half of the season, he had, you know, 5 or 6 touchdown catches in the first 8 games or something like that. You know, and that's what he has the ability to do if he can stay healthy. And, you know, even the game, my first start for the BC Lions, after J.C. Sherritt picked me off to kind of, you know, the play that got us back in the groove and got me back in the rhythm was a fade route down the sideline to Akeem Foster for like 40 or 45 yards. So he's got the ability to make some big plays. But again, you know, he's kind of been hampered the last little bit by some injuries that I think are now cleared up. So I expect him to be able to come out and contribute in a big way.
Mike Riley, quarterback of the Eskimos, joins us. Mike, you've had almost a month now since the coaching staff has been announced. I'm sure you've spoke with your new offensive coordinator, Mr. McAdoo. And I know Ed Hervey and Chris Jones both talked about, hey, we want to protect our quarterback so you know, he doesn't have to be running for his life all the time. And also they want to have some different systems. What impression have you got from McAdoo? How different is the offense going to be this year compared to last?
You know, I've had some really good conversations with both Coach McAdoo and Coach Jones and Coach Jackson, Jerry Jackson, the quarterback coach as well. And the great thing that I love to hear from those guys is that they're all on the same page. you know, it doesn't matter which coach I talk to, they're all telling me the same things. And so I know that they're pushing in the same direction. And the things that I've heard are the same things that you've heard, you know, that we want to get the ball out quick. At times, that's going to be a big part of our passing game, you know, the underneath routes and the high percentage, high completion percentage. I know fans will let them do what they do best. And then at times, too, you know, to get the running game involved, which is something that we struggled with last year. And that sets up the play action, you know, the max protection to throw the ball downfield. So there's going to be times for us to take shots, but we're going to pick and choose those times a little bit differently than we did last year. We kind of relied on that last year a little more heavily. And so, you know, I think that with their background with the offense that Toronto was running, you know, last year, as well as some of the information that they're getting right now during the off season, going and talking to different teams that run different types of offenses, both, you know, at the professional and college level, and just trying to get an idea. I really think that they're going to kind of custom build this offensive playbook for the weapons that we have on this team. And I think that's the best way to get, you know, the most out of your players. You know, obviously coaches are going to come in with their mindset. You're going to have to, as a player, adjust to their schemes and their style of play. But when they're willing to kind of create around your strengths as a team, I think that that's the best of both worlds. So I'm very excited to see, you know, what they're coming up with, and I'm looking forward to sitting down and meeting with them once things get finalized in terms of that playbook.
Mike Riley joins us. Mike, I remember many years talking to Ricky Ray, and he said the one thing that he was surprised on when he learned after his first pro season was he needed to be heavier to take a pounding. He actually put on more weight in his first offseason after being a starter because he felt it would make him stronger at the end of the year. Are you on the same thought pattern? Now, you took a lot of punishment last year. Are you a guy who's going to be heavier this season?
You know, what's funny is I have never heard that comment from Ricky Ray, but great minds think alike. I hope that's the case here, because that was one of my main goals going into this offseason, was to put on some weight, to get some more mass. You know, in the past, you know, as a backup, you don't play 18 games, you don't take all those hits, and your body doesn't really need to be able to withstand that punishment. You know, so last year coming into the season, I started the season at about 215, and I ended the season a lot lighter, probably closer to 207 or so. So I've been hitting it really hard since, you know, late November, early December. And right now I'm sitting at 225 and plan on getting up just above 230 by the time training camp hits, you know. So I've put on easily 20 pounds of muscle mass to this point, and we're just sitting in here in late February. So I still have a lot of time to continue to do that, to put on the mass. So I do think that's important. I think that's something that's going to help me. You know, and I've still maintained my athleticism. I'm still out running a ton. I'm still in really good shape, but I'm the strongest that I've ever been, in an off season right now. And like I said, it's still just February. So I feel very good about, what's gone on so far this off season, and I'm going to continue to push in that direction.
15 pounds of muscle. What kind of off season training do you do, Mike, to ensure that while you get stronger and bigger, you still maintain the same speed?
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit difficult in the wintertime because of the weather outside. But still, you know, I got a great gym facility that's literally a block away from me right now. It's just one block up the street, so it takes me 30 seconds to walk there. So generally, I get up early in the morning, you know, I grab a meal real quick, and then I head to the gym for about 2.5 hours in the morning, sometimes a little bit longer depending on the day. And get a really good strength workout in, you know, hitting all the weight training workouts, you know, for the week, and then I will take a break, go home for a couple of hours, and then I go back to the gym. I've been averaging twice a day at the gym, 5 days a week for the last 8 weeks, and you know, that's just my mentality. Is during the off season, it's still a job. I still, football is my job, and I got to do everything I can. So, you know, generally over the course of the day, I'm at the gym for 4 or 5 hours. Like I said, weight training in the morning and then in the afternoon. You know, there's some guys here that are trainers that are still playing college football that I've been working with, doing speed training, speed ladder, agility, stuff like that. And then jump on the treadmill and run for a couple of miles, generally 3 miles a day on that. And then every couple of weeks, there's a basketball court, a gym, just up the street, so I go and run and play basketball for a couple of hours, just to try to stay in tip-top shape. You know, I mean, like I said, during the winter time, it's a little bit difficult. I actually had a great opportunity this last week to go down to Orlando and work out down at Tom Shaw's football camp, and got an opportunity to get a throwing session in with the guys out on the field, getting the throw. You know, they got some guys that are training for the combine. Kelvin Benjamin from Florida State, throwing to him. Some pro guys were there, Santonio Holmes, and just getting a throw to some guys that are moving full speed again, rather than just throwing spot throws. You know, just trying to get every opportunity that I can. It's worked out really well, and I also have a plan to come in into Edmonton for a week in the middle of March and get together with the guys that are in town and you know, spend every single day out there in that indoor trying to get as many throwing sessions in as we can. But it's been a really good offseason so far.
Mike Riley, quarterback of the Eskimos, joins us. Mike, when you put on that extra 15 pounds of muscle, do you throw the ball harder, do you notice, as a quarterback?
Yeah, you know, I think so. I think, you know, with throwing the ball as a quarterback, throwing it with power, a lot of that comes from your core and from your lower body. So it's not necessarily that you're sitting in there doing bench press and curls, and all of a sudden now you can rip a ball 70 yards downfield. But when you put more mass, generally that mass, some of it does becomes, you know,
well, I think we got a lot out of Mike Riley there. His Verizon phone sucks. That's all I know. We'll catch up with him again when he's in town for a few weeks. But interesting to know, that's a big difference. But you think about a quarterback, you take that much punishment and you lose 10 pounds during the season. Well, he wants to come in at 225, and if he does lose, then he's going to be at 215, which was where he started last season. So expect a bigger, stronger Mike Riley. Obviously, they're hoping he doesn't have to lose 10 pounds because he doesn't have to take as much punishment this coming season as he did last year. There will be a lot more quick hitters. That was virtually not even part of the offensive play calling last year for the Eskimos. Like, you go back and think about it, Eskimo fans. How many games did we see where they were throwing the ball quick? And I think that's a huge difference and will benefit them. And Mike's back with us, Mike. And I appreciate you sticking around. We got to get you a better phone out of Verizon.
You know, what's the deal? I got to give Telus a call or something like that. I got to get off this American plan because they just don't make them like they used to, you know?
No, they definitely don't. You talk about coming to Edmonton and working out with the guys. I know you spent a lot of time with the Darius Bowman last year. He was rehabbing. You were in Edmonton for a long time. And he said that really gave him a comfort zone heading into camp. This year, your receiving core, you're going to have four guys who you're very comfortable with. Foster, you played with before. Will you work on different things this year now that it's year number two leading up to training camp with guys? And if so, what would it be?
Yeah, I think this will be a much different year. Now that all of the guys that I'll be throwing the ball to, I have a history with of at least a full season, if not more, in the case of Akeem. But all the other guys, you know, I really think I have a good grasp for what the strengths and weaknesses are of the particular receivers individually and as a group, you know, what we need to work on, what we can improve on from last year. You know, just from watching tape, I have all of the tape in my possession from all 18 games last year, and I try to make it a point a couple of times a week to put that tape on and just try to pick up little things that we can work on, that we can get better at, that aren't necessarily playbook specific, just things that would benefit us in any playbook. So I think that's a big change this year, is that we work with those guys. You know, we're going to be able to work on things that are a little bit more specific to what we need to improve on, rather than just saying, hey, let's get some timing. Let's build some chemistry. The timing and the chemistry is already there. Now we can be a little bit more precise on what we're working on. And, you know, I did have a lot of time to work with those guys last year, and I'm excited to get back to that this year. Like I said, in 2 or 3 weeks, going back to Edmonton, I know there's some guys in town that we're going to get together and go about 5-6 days straight. And then I've had some good conversations with Freddie and Shamad, and we're going to get together down in the States at the end of March. Okay. And have another couple of days there just to try to pinpoint things so that, you know, we're just that much further ahead when training camp starts.
Do you know, I know last year you guys had a quarterbacks receiving camp out in the United States for a few weeks when it was warm. Is the plan to do that again?
Well, based on the things unfolded last year, even if I did know, I'm not even sure if I would be able to tell. And I wouldn't want to get in trouble for that. But in terms of what I do and don't know, I haven't been told anything for sure as of yet. I'm sure that's something that they're going to explore, the possibility of doing that. I think it was something that was beneficial last year for multiple reasons. You know, it gives the management a chance to look at guys that, you know, maybe they're kind of on the fence about whether they're going to bring them to camp or not. And it allows some of the veteran guys that do go to camps like that the ability to, you know, knock whatever rust off that there is and just kind of get back into that mindset of football and a practice schedule. So I do hope that we have the opportunity to get together. As I said, I think it was beneficial last year, and I'm sure that they're considering that possibility again. But in terms of anything concrete, I don't really know for certain yet.
Mike, always good to catch up with you. We'll see you when you come to town in March.
Jason, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure.